He wears quite a few hats, actually.
And the masters of the universe!
I am Adam. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Animation Station. I am Tracy.
I'm Robbie.
And we are here to do a belated Christmas review of He-Man, the animated Christmas special.
Yep.
And this week we have a special guest with us. He is from the Cynical Cartoonist podcast, the Adam Sandcast, and...
And I'm Tyler.
So... Yep. That's him, all right.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us.
Super belated, actually, because I think this might be coming out like an entire week after Christmas by the time it's out, right?
To be fair, the spirit of Christmas lives within all of us, so it's fine. Regardless right. of what denomination.
Also, I believe the full name of this special is the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special.
Yes. Is it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because after,
they couldn't just make it completely centric to He-Man.
Well, because it was after...
Yeah, you can't forget about She-Ra.
It was after they tried to... they were trying to revitalize the series by bringing in She-Ra and a whole new... cast of villains.
Okay, so they tried to Cousin Oliver it from the Brady Bunch. Do you remember that?
No.
They brought in Cousin Oliver, he just sucks. He's like the worst character. And they're just like, we have to revitalize the series, and it didn't work.
Well, yeah, it's like that Simpsons joke where it's like the Cosby Show and Bleeding Gums Murphy comes on and they're like, oh, here's your old uncle. He's a jazz musician. They're like, oh, another uncle on the show?
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, or just yeah. Poochie existing in general. But like, there wasn't really any Poochie in this episode, which is pretty great. But yeah, we'll just start with a brief synopsis. Robbie, you want to take the reins on this?
Oh, I can try.
Take Swifty's reins, that terrifying horse. With the super creepy, super deep voice.
Listen, he smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day for at least 2 years.
My father was a coal miner.
I like Swifty. I'm sorry.
I did too. We loved him.
Yeah, he reminded me of John Benjamin, actually.
I could see it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the special starts. They're decorating for what is apparently Adam and Adora, who are the twins that are He-Man and She-Ra.
Apparently nobody realizes He-Man or She-Ra.
No one just figures it out.
Despite Adam's page boy haircut, which feels pretty obvious, number one.
And ridiculous bulging muscles. It's not as...
Yeah, it's weird that Clark Kent is like the poster boy for like take off your glasses and nobody recognizes him, because this is definitely like wear less clothes and people will not recognize
him. Yeah, like maybe he's just expecting them to be so distracted by his glistening muscles. So,
right.
Are you proud of me now, Mom and Dad?
So apparently, Adam and Adora are twins. They're prepping for a birthday party, which inexplicably is during winter and looks just like Christmas decorations.
Yeah, oddly enough.
Which their mom points out. She's like, oh gosh, this reminds me of Christmas on Earth.
Because literally everything that we're using right now are the old Christmas decorations.
We're king and queen, but we couldn't be bothered to buy new decorations.
Especially... Yeah, go ahead.
Is the mom from Earth? Why does she know about Christmas and nobody
she
else
shouldn't.
Does?
Apparently, unless she's been moonlighting doing something else, I assume.
I honestly have no idea. My He-Man lore is archaic and buried under many, many other memories.
But you know more
about
that.
I mean, major confession here. This is my first time ever watching He-Man ever.
Yeah.
I had never seen it before.
Same.
And I was kind of wondering the entire time, like, is She-Ra a constant staple of this series that's always been around? What is any of this? I kind of knew like the main players a little bit from like pop culture references for the most part.
Well, so I don't know the whole story because I mean the cartoon came out well before I was born.
Yeah.
But I was looking up a little bit earlier, and I guess in like 85 they were trying to revitalize the series, so they introduced Hordak as another villain who works sort of both on the same side as but against Skeletor.
Like a campier version of Skeletor, I guess. I mean, like, he pulls it off completely, like, with his bone-shaped cowl cape thingy. I don't know.
Really
it's like, do people know I'm evil yet?
Well, yeah, and he's also disgusting. Like, this is the era of, like, disgusting kids' toys, where, like, every single time he talks, he's like...
Well, yeah,
and then he just like keeps talking. It's disgusting.
And that was the scent of what was going on in the creation room at Hasbro. Like, we need to make more.
We need more toys now.
We need more characters. Anybody?
Right.
Just take that old thing of bones and make something out of it. I don't care.
Something that I really loved about the birthday scene, the Christmas scene, whatever it is, in the end, at the beginning of the episode is. that they're walking around and they're like naming people by name. They're like, oh, hey, Perfuma, better put more blue on there. Hey, Flutterina and Pika Bluma and like fucking Pikachu.
Yeah, Pika Bluma.
And it's all because these were like new characters they wanted to introduce and sell action figures and dolls for.
Yep.
They could have just like, I think what they did was they just like left a blank space on there for it's like, we've been shopping just, around a couple different names. It's like, put that up there, Pika. No, no, that's stupid. Pika Blue. That's
better.
That's a portmanteau. That works.
Right, right.
But anyway, well, if we keep focusing on that thing.
Yeah,
we'll
So there's all that goofiness with goofy names.
Yeah.
So they're preparing for the birthday and then they're like, man, where's Adam? And then cuts to Adam and Man-at-Arms, who are in a laboratory working on a rocket, like essentially a spy drone.
They're just like staring at it. They're just like, that should do it. It's like, we don't know what they were doing.
I threw a wrench at it. I think it'll be good.
Yep.
Is his name actually Man-at-Arms? Like, he doesn't have like a fake name like He-Man gets?
No.
He does have an actual name. It's something like Donovan or something. I literally don't remember.
We'll just call him Man-at-Arms because Donovan sounds like a guy that would own some kind of nightclub.
Well, to be fair, in this in this special, they only use his actual name once.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, he's Man-at-Arms. Right. But he does have a name. I just don't know what it is.
That's fine.
I think it's interesting how quickly you just kind of like skimmed over. They are building a drone to spy on the villains in this universe. Like, this is literally 45 minutes of the plot of Dark Knight condensed down to 2 seconds in this with no debate at all. Just like, we're doing this.
It's like,
it's happening.
If they're not going to question it, why should we? Because, and especially the fact that they do it in an open air forest. Like, there's no, like, coverage. They don't feel the need to even hide it in, like, a bunker or some kind of.
What are you
going to
do?
Fortress.
Put in the forest or let the forest on fire when you launch your stupid joke?
Yeah, but at least, like, they could have been discreet about it. I don't know.
And it is insanely easy to steal. Like, somebody accidentally, like, Jar Jar Binks's their way into stealing this thing and flying it into space to another planet.
Yeah, Orko, literally, their weird, like, space wizard, or, like, this, like, wizard thingy, I don't know, like, a disembodied pair of eyes and hands decides to do it, like, and just
steal
it.
He's like, I wonder what this is.
He's like, vroom, like, it's like a friggin', like, race car or something, like Power Wheels.
The funniest thing to me of that was he's, like, playing with the lever, and he accidentally rips it off, and I'm like, how the heck is Orko the one who rips that?
And then to contrast it, when
they
go...
What did you make that out of?
And they go back into, like, the actual, like, Adam, something's gone wrong, and they need to like look at it. It's like Adam's like, I'll go check, and his shoulders are so broad he can barely fit them into the console area where the lever is, and he's just like, it's like he's trying to like operate a children's sized like a shopping cart or something.
Yeah, well,
I'll do
like...
it.
I forgot about that.
Like, it's just so like, there's so many unintentionally hilarious animation problems just because of how blocky and mechanical everyone is. Like, we kind of thought that She-Ra was a robot for a while.
It's like she's a robot and there's someone like in like a separate location watching the feed and telling her like, smile now.
Well, I mean, that was like Filmation's thing, right? Was that they just made shitty cheap animation for like the entire time that they were a thing.
I mean, that might be the case, and it wouldn't be shocking because like the original Transformers and He-Man cartoons were literally just giant advertisements.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's all they functioned as. I mean, like, well, because My Little Pony was the same way from what I remember. Like, the animation was also crappy within that too, but it's like, it was just more of like, it made Scooby-Doo look like Hayao Miyazaki. Like, it was like astonishingly poor. Like, where they would just like have a still image of She-Ra looking at apparently nobody because she's not facing anyone.
She's just looking at things. Her eyes like moving.
She's like, or just imagining like, Adam, we have to go now.
Speaking of Transformers, we'll get to that later.
Oh, that's entirely. So Orko steals the drone, accidentally steals the stupid drone, and Skeletor just happens to be in the air with his crab machine chip, and is like, I want that! We're taking it!
This flies a lot better than I thought it would have, but whatever, physics.
And so He-Man's like, oh, I gotta stop him from doing that, and then goes and like, wrecks up the ship.
I think it's funny the way he does that. He like hovers up on this little like hover bike thing that he like leans forward on.
He's,
It's kind of like the speeders from Star Wars, just like, I mean, I guess that we'll probably bring this up a lot, just like gayer, I guess would be the best way to describe
like,
it.
He legitimately straddles it, like, well, it's like a light cycle right. or something.
It's
like,
not only that he straddles it, it's that he straddles it and like his stomach
yeah.
is
on
straight horizontal.
Yeah.
Like, so like he's on right. all fours ready.
Yeah, like so there's no, number one, there's no way that that's comfortable for him. He's no. not really resting on anything aside from like basically doing a plank pose, more or less.
Yeah, he's resting on his forward abs.
It's like, it's okay, my core is strong enough to handle this.
I think the most incredible thing about it, though, is that he jumps off of this little thing, right, onto the claw ship, and he's fighting the bad guys. And then, like, She-Ra comes up on her unicorn, because we got to kind of, like, shoehorn her into this whole yep. thing. And in the end, when they get off of this machine, they just jump off the side of it onto the unicorn and the like the crotch rocket thing. But like they were side by side all along beneath the ship, as if the rocket can just like kind of figure out where He-Man is and catch him like the unicorn.
And they do it in the most nonchalant way possible. And like it reminded right. me of like, you know, whenever little kids are learning how to swim the first time, how they do that weird kind of like granny thing where they squat down a little bit and then they just try to jump into the water into their parents' arms. It's okay. like they right. did it like that. I was like, this is so ridiculous.
It's very
and
yet, strange.
And Adam's arc is perfect enough to land onto the weird
oh, yeah.
sky tricycle or whatever.
And not Shira's, hurt himself or the
yeah,
bike.
Yeah, and Shira's accessory is fine. So, yeah. like...
That brings up one thing that bugged me when I was watching it. It's like, why didn't we ever see Battle Cat in this thing?
Yeah.
Because I love Battle Cat.
Yeah, he's nowhere to be seen.
Is that...
Like, that's He-Man.
Is that, like, He-Man's that's, little
yeah.
minion?
Yeah, that's yeah. He-Man's right. animal. It's just this giant green tiger.
And that's
who
the
then
because,
gets, like, battle armor.
And if they put him into, like, a wizard... or not a wizard. Into, like, some kind of winter setting, that would be perfect, because it could be, like, look, dude, he's like a snow tiger thingy.
The
whatever.
Cat is in the thing, though. Like,
yeah.
you see him in the background. There's just a big green tiger
yeah,
lying
he's
around.
Just hanging out, like, of all opportunities for him to be there. There are plenty of times where he could have helped them, like,
yeah.
like fight off the other robots or whatever, and
no.
we just nope, not never around.
No.
Yeah, thanks for nothing.
Freaking battle.
But
is he? Are you guys sure that he's part of this incarnation of the series? Like maybe
yeah.
He-Man, She-Ra just drops Battle Cat in general.
I mean,
you know
no, like he's there because he's in the opening theme intro because they still play part of it, don't they?
Oh. I don't remember, but I know I saw the cat.
Yeah,
because here's the like the thing is like with Adam and. His cat, whose name escapes me, is they both are huge cowards when they're not He-Man and Battle Cat.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the cat's just lazing around in the castle at some point, but I know he was part of that incarnation because I remember it.
But
like,
I remember Battle Cat.
Wait.
I think it was probably just a screen time issue because clearly it's supposed to be, like, Orko is the biggest B story that they have going on. Well, I mean, technically it's the A story. Like, the fact that She-Ra
yeah,
and He-Man there are completely coincidental.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we have
wait,
to involve
so,
them too.
So you were just saying that they're, like, cowardly when they're not in their like super form or whatever, like they like digivolve or whatever. What is that, like a Clark Kent thing where he's like putting on an act, or is he actually a coward and then when he turns into He-Man he has what, like courage? I don't
for
know.
For He-Man it's an act, right?
Like,
when he's Prince Adam he pretends to be cowardly,
oh, okay.
does the Prince Adam or does the
oh,
Clark Kent thing.
Yeah.
But the cat is legitimately
right.
just a wuss until you zap him with the sword.
Wait, so it's like, so He-Man basically has to do a positive affirmation with the I have the power thing, and it's like
yes.
my clothes are
yeah.
gone and there go my inhibitions.
You have that power too.
Yeah.
He says to the cat.
I have the power to shed my clothing when I deem it necessary.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
So
yeah,
after they destroy the crab ship.
We haven't even gotten
I know.
Skeletor.
Well, Skeletor and his air hand jobs.
Oh my god.
Get them,
yeah.
get them.
At the same time. Whenever he's angry, he likes to invisibly like jerk off two people at one time.
I mean, I guess that's a good way to de-stress. I don't know. Maybe that's why he has such rocking guns.
That's true. Like, despite having no muscles to smile with, which he does smile later, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
ripped,
I,
like, somehow.
I was wondering about Skeletor. Does he have flesh underneath that costume, or is it all, like bone muscles, maybe? Maybe he's all bone.
Like,
it's just, like, bone muscles.
Like, it's just cartilage or something, or?
I think it was just taken for granted in the 80s
yeah.
cartoon. Like, it was just, oh, here's Skeletor. He's a dude who's really buff, but also a skeleton.
Right.
Like, it was just.
Maybe it's a mask.
It was
Is
or
it
like,
supposed to be?
Hmm.
I don't know. Well, okay, so, like, it was taken for granted in the 80s, but then 2002, I know, I'm such a nerd.
It's fine.
They redid the series, like, updated animation, and it's a lot darker and less campy.
Mm-hmm.
Although, of right. course, He-Man still make it because it's not
no
He-Man.
There's no camp here that they could have gone, so it's not a stretch.
There were only so many rainbows they could fit into one show.
That's true.
And in that, it was like, Skeletor used to be like a sorcerer trying to take over Eternia,
mm-hmm.
and then his face got burned by like acid, and so mm-hmm. then another sorcerer like remade him.
He got two-faced, like Falcone kinda, just yeah. throws acid in his face and he just
yeah. sort of similar,
and then his voice gets all crackly.
And yet
oh,
somehow he still has vocal cords despite the fact that he's a skeleton.
Yeah,
whereas
sort of,
like in real life it should just be
I'm dead.
Yeah, like he shouldn't
yeah.
be making any
right.
sense. It's sort of a similar thing where like it disfigured him and then like some magic ritual melted his face away, but he still gets to have a rockin' bod, I guess. I don't know.
I said if they took anything, take my face, not my sick, sick abs.
Check out this
waspball! Does anybody in the show not have rockin'
no.
abs?
Oh my gosh,
any,
no,
like,
okay.
people in Eternia?
I have a theory behind this.
I'm sure those kids are just, like, totally buff. You know?
And that's the thing, because, like, I have this theory that apparently there are no old people and there are no out-of-shape people, so I assume they either kill and eat them or just drive them out, because they can't have any fugglies in like,
it's
an
like
Eternia.
Well, yeah, it's like
yeah.
300.
Yeah.
Unacceptable. Chuck yeah. in the body pile.
Yeah. Just, like, we don't need you. We'll repurpose you in some way. Like, it's maybe, like, they live in a Soylent Green future. I don't know.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So Orko ends up, like, somehow, like, makes up a spell, which is ridiculous, and rockets himself off to Earth from Eternia.
Yeah.
And he ends up, like, somewhere in, I suppose it's supposed to be Northern California or something, like, I don't know.
Well,
and
no, because there's snow.
Yeah.
You don't get that
in there's, snow, there's some snow.
Not that kind of snow.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, so he goes to, like, Maine or whatever, and he meets little Billy and Sammy or whatever.
Oh, no, it's,
no, it's Miguel and Alicia.
Miguel and Alicia.
Yeah.
Is this, like, a normal thing for the He-Man mythos to be able to just, like, travel to other planets, or have they never left Eternia?
No.
How does that
they,
work? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure they, I don't think they leave Eternia, but because it's in right. this sort of, like, almost, it's sort of almost like cyberpunk, because there's a lot of weird technology stuff going on.
Yeah.
But also magic. Mm.
But can they teleport to places or something? Or?
Well, they can't. They do it in the special, right?
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
but then they make mention that She-Ra is on Etheria, which is another planet.
Oh,
I guess.
Okay. Or like she gets her own planet or something. I don't know. Even though they're brother and sister, or
it
something.
Seems like she gets her own planet because Hordak, her nemesis, rules Etheria. Like
okay.
he owns this planet.
Man, they didn't like try it.
Oh
no!
they just swapped the names out.
They I don't think. I mean,
yeah, no, they don't. Five.
What do
they
care?
Don't give a crap. It's fine.
Just want to make the toys and make
yeah,
money.
Yeah. But yeah.
So he crashes on Earth, and I noticed this when I was watching it the second time.
Do they have any parents?
No. Well, they
and they're stuck on a mountain.
Yes. When Orko falls out of the ship, he's doing like a weird circle thing, but his direction changes.
Oh yeah, like he starts turning in one way, and then it
and then he
just
hits
switches.
The tree branch. He switches the other direction,
which I assume is probably like
right.
An animation saving thing, because they did the same thing with She-Ra getting off of Swifty twice. They reused the same. Do you remember
yeah.
that? They reused the same shot twice, and it's like, oh my god.
Yeah,
I was so mad, but
so,
I couldn't stop laughing.
That was amazing. So Orko ends up saving the kids from an avalanche,
mm-hmm.
and they start telling him about Christmas.
Just cause. Just
right.
save some...
Here's the thing. I think that saving the kids is a very, I guess, subjective term, because in my eyes, he is kidnapping these children and taking them to another world.
He does, ultimately.
And their parents are probably very worried
yeah,
about it.
Probably.
Like, he's basically using the Stockholm Syndrome of trying to share a moment with the kids of, like, tell me what Christmas is about. Hits latch on door
right.
and immediately presses start button.
Locks in.
It's like, I don't know.
I need your kids... I need your help moving this box into this van, is basically what he's doing.
Hey, are you about a size toddler 4? Like, excuse me?
Dear God.
It's
right.
like, can you trust me, kids? A weird floating wizard monster?
I don't have feet, but it's cool.
It's fine.
They seem not at all perplexed about this wizard man in a world that does not have wizards in it. This is presumably... our Earth. This is not like a mystical land that he travels
yeah, no.
to.
They don't question it at all. They're just like, either they're very accepting of others, or they are just so
mm-hmm.
accustomed to such messed up stuff happening.
Well, their dad is Mario.
That's true. Yeah, their dad is Mario. So
right.
It's fair.
So
he is literally yep. Mario. That might
yeah,
be canon.
He's literally Mario wearing like a Cosby sweater that
yep.
has like a weird, like, I don't know, like white striped pattern
yeah,
over
yeah.
it or something. Like, I don't know.
And for some reason, he's Mexican.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know why.
Right.
But, and
it, well, his name is, the kid's name is Miguel, yeah. So I guess yeah. that they could be Hispanic.
But, yeah, but the issue that I had was, like, the little girl, like, or Alicia, whatever, she's blonde. And the mother's brunette, so we're like, so, like
right.
so clearly she is of the milkman's brood, yes. I assume. Like, that's the only logical
right.
case. Or she's, like, like a stepsister or something, I don't know. But, like, I don't know. She's
yeah.
there. Like, oh my, right. I was secretly wondering if she was going to be like, she looks a lot like me when I was a kid. Like, maybe she's just a bizarro version of She-Ra.
These kid actors are not great
no.
in this
no,
in general.
Not, none of them are.
There's a point when they're teaching Orko about Christmas and the magic of Christmas, and they basically, like, they're retelling the nativity scene, essentially. Like, they're telling,
yes.
like, Christian Christmas, which was not what I expected watching
yeah.
this. To start out with, but there's a point in it where, like, Orko keeps calling it Christmas instead of
yep.
Christmas,
yeah.
and so one of them is like, first of all, it's Christmas. No, I mean, it's not a Christmas tree, it's a Christmas tree, and I was like, that is a flubbed line delivery that they left in this as a joke, but it was not in the script, I'm guessing.
I think so, too, but then I think they added it, because then the little girl does the same thing later.
Oh,
not
yeah.
jingle
right.
bells.
They
gotta
cover their tracks.
I mean, jingle bells.
Yeah, they're trying to play it off. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
like,
it's
oh,
like,
it's,
no, they're not.
Fun.
It's cute.
No.
It's quirky. No, it's fun. It's lazy. That's
lying.
What it is. We're calling it out as it is. Oh, by the way, did you
right.
notice that Miguel has super creepy yaoi hands? He has gigantic.
I don't know what yaoi
is. Gigantic ass hands.
There's
what
one
like,
point
he's
where he's talking
something.
And like his like there. It's a slightly closer shot, and like he raises his hands, and they're massive. They're the size of his head.
I
think he's.
Yeah, he does have, like, weirdly, I think that was, like, a female actress playing that character, because the, like, I was not always looking at the screen, honestly.
No.
But, so, like, I wrote a note in the middle of this that says, like, wait, why is this little girl, like, dominating the conversation? Why doesn't Miguel ever get to speak? That's really weird that he's not talking. And then I looked and I'm like, he is talking. They just sound exactly the same. What the fuck?
Maybe they just...
What is happening?
Maybe they just assumed that Miguel wouldn't know or something. And she's like, let me do this,
right.
okay?
I got
yeah. Yeah.
yeah. It's fine. I'll take care of it, Miguel. Like, I take care of everything. I resent you.
While this is happening and they're learning... And Orko's learning about Christmas...
very poorly.
Apparently Christian religious Christmas.
A fundamentalist religion, even.
Yes.
Right.
They're planning on how they're going to get the ship back, and they've realized they need to save Orko. So She-Ra has to go to Etheria and get, I think it's like the water crystal or something?
Something like that? Or like she visits a mermaid or
yeah,
something
so
to
she
try
goes...
to like, yeah, find out how to defeat
right, Mermista the French
Mermista.
Mermaid. Yeah,
I forgot it was
yeah,
so
that's
bad.
Her name.
Like,
who has legs?
I mean...
Like, if you look
yeah.
at the outline of that tail, it's legs.
Yeah, oh, and by the way, she can apparently teleport wherever she wants, because she goes from being in this little lagoon to being in this gigantic industrial park about 10 minutes later. Somehow, like, she just shows up.
I think she would get sick. That doesn't
yeah.
look like clean water.
Yeah, she's like, I have to go. I've got a six-pack holder stuck in my throat.
Right. I love how hard they're pushing, like, She-Ra and Swifty the Unicorn in
oh,
this.
Yeah.
Like, She-Ra basically every single time that there's like a commercial break, I'm assuming, or it skips to another
She-Ra.
Scene, like She-Ra's name comes up in big bold letters, and it's like She-Ra, yep. and it's like, yeah, you really want me to buy that action figure, don't you? I
so
will.
Funny.
Thank
the
you, cartoon special.
The transitions are just fantastic.
Oh, transitions
because
in the show
every single time
oh,
he
yeah,
just
they're
screams
incredible.
At you to make sure that you're still awake.
And I really liked Swifty. Like we were saying earlier, he kind of got like John Benjamin E thing going on, and it's like this unicorn has like a weirdly like gruff masculine voice. It's like, what are
it's
they?
It's so
like,
unexpected.
This
like,
is weirdly
he's like the
He-Man.
Marvel Man wearing like some kind of like rainbow helmet or something.
Right.
It's just like he's like,
right.
so if you're ever gonna get out this one, I don't know,
She-Ra. The first time
back, we'll find out.
The first time he spoke, we had to like backtrack and be like, "Are you wait? What?"
We legitimately like stepped away from the computer, like, "Whoa!" Hold on.
What if we were all just watching like the same YouTube video where one person decided to screw with everybody else and just redub that one character for no reason? like it's actually like it's got like a very feminine voice in the cartoon, but they just like went in and they're like. This is going to be funny.
I mean,
right. This is gonna be great.
If that was the case, then it was a very elaborate troll because we found it on the official He-Man YouTube. You can watch the entire thing for free.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
on
right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's if that's what it was, then they are very thorough. So I applaud them.
Yeah. So when they so when Swifty's fighting, after Swifty and Shira fight the Beast Monster, which is apparently Nessie and Godzilla's love child.
It's that.
Right?
Yeah.
They fought, they are captured by the laziest Transformers ever.
Yes.
I don't remember what they're called.
I was trying to understand this. What are their names? They're not the...
I think they're like the Monstroids.
Oh, crap. I'm not going to...
Can we just call them the...
the Monstroids. There's the Monstroids and the Manchines.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Are they a Transformers, like, parody? Like, are they making a joke about Transformers? Or are they actually, like, trying to make Transformers ripoffs here? Because they literally are saying, like, they just see these big robots that turn into cars, and they're like, they're changing into other forms. How evil. And it's like, are you... trying to convince kids that Transformers are evil?
I have no idea.
I just assumed it was just very, like, it was them just trying to do, like, a very lazy ripoff of it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, like, maybe it's just, like, the names of the toys, and I'm just biased or something, but I'm like, there's no way that they could sincerely think that a kid would buy that, because they put so little effort into designing them. It's like, they just basically look like if you went to, like, a hardware supply store and then just repurposed, like, some of those, the tubes that you use for ventilation. Like, put that together onto, like, a box. Like, that's literally what it was. And just spray-painted it purple.
Well, I think the really interesting thing is that later on they introduce us to the Manchines, who apparently the people of Eternia have always known about.
Yeah.
And
never talk
the
about.
Manchines have, like, really inventive designs. And they're, like, really cool-looking. And they're kind of, they have, like, cool character. And it's like, this is a backdoor pilot, right, to another thing that I've never seen.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels that way. I don't know.
Yeah. I wish we could give them that much credit, but I don't know.
I don't know if that's what's going on there, but it kind of, I can see where that, I do kind of get that feeling as well.
Well, wait, do you mean, like, were the Manchines the one, like, Zipster, like, Cutter?
Zipper
or something, or, like,
Cutter.
Like, basically right. All, like, the very poorly thought out Mega Man villains, I guess. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Right, and all their names are exactly what they do. Like, when the one comes up, basically, I mean, spoilers for later on in the
Doesn't
thing,
matter.
The kids get locked up. With the wizard guy,
and then Orko, then just,
and they're all hanging out in this jail cell, and then Cutter shows up and he's like, "Hey guys, I'm Cutter. I'm a Manchine, and the Manchines are this, and you should watch our show to Saturdays 8 p.m." You know, and when he said my name is Cutter, he has such a weird voice that I thought that he said gutter.
Yeah, I
and I'm
thought
like,
that
we
too.
Also,
yeah, we
gutter?
Gutter.
What the, like, you gut people or like you live
yeah,
in the gutter?
And okay, yeah, because he's got like these weird, creepy lobster claws. So he's like, I really like disemboweling people. It's like, you can stay
right.
out there. It's fine.
No, but for some reason those
and they turn into saws too.
just
turn
to
buzz
saws.
Why not?
He just has whatever that they need whenever it shows up. And oh man, Zipster, he could not die fast enough for me. Wait, because he's got like
really
time to go.
Oh
like,
man, I love Zipster.
I couldn't stand him, man. I don't know. I think it was just his voice pissed me off. But I don't know.
Well, I think it's an interesting dynamic between the Manchines and the Monstroids, because the Monstroids are all obviously very adult. Like they all sort of sound like, you know, Megatron, and they're like, oh, we got to destroy the enemy. And then all the I keep forgetting their names, the Manchines, the good ones, are like little kids, and they're like, oh man, we just want to play and zip around.
Yeah, right. And they're all about the size of the kids too.
Yeah. And they even have puppies.
Right.
So it's like, we will give you puppies and cake. Like, please join us to the land of make-believe. Like, I'm
yeah.
like, oh my God.
It's basically like Care Bears versus, I don't know, like Goosebumps
yeah.
villains. Like they're grossly outmatched.
Yeah, exactly. It would be like if the Care Bears were trying to take on, like, I mean, I guess like Transformers more or
yeah.
less, wherein like they're designed to be like cute, like little add-ons, or like you can buy this playset for $24.99 at your local Walmart, like, or like a
right.
Kroger. What
right,
existed
whatever.
In the '80s? I don't know.
Sure,
it doesn't matter.
Kmart.
Kmart. Yeah, Kmart.
Probably
was
Kmart.
Around. Yeah. Meijer, Kroger, whatever. Anyway, but no, yeah, it's just like sometimes it's like they didn't even bother trying to give them a bigger arc and everything, but I like that eventually they've got the puppy named Relay that ends up befriending
Skeletor,
and he just keeps licking him. It's like that dog will eventually kill Skeletor in his sleep. They just like start eating him.
Start gnawing him.
Yeah,
bones.
He's just like, oh, he likes me.
Oh,
God, my jaw.
Oh, like maybe Relay is just like a sleeper agent, and they like send him in to take out Skeletor and like convince him to be good. And then kill
oh,
him.
That'd be great. That'd like, be if, like they would never suspect it.
If only.
Yep.
Right.
If only such subterfuge existed
I think
in the He-Man universe.
Yep.
Although apparently I've got
we kind of skipped over. sorry, we kind of skipped over one thing, which was that basically the wizard guy takes the kids back to
Eternia.
Yeah. And they're like hanging out with the good guys, and they're like trying to explain Christmas to He-Man and all those people. And they're basically saying, like, it's about presents, but it's really not. It's about family and togetherness. And the He-Man and friends are just like, hey, we can be family togetherness here. And it's like, you're taking them away from their families right now. Take them home. Yeah, what are you doing?
The thing is, like, the kids don't, like, do they really mention their parents up until the very end? It's like, yeah, I guess we should go back to our parents. It's like, before then, they just seem completely disaffected. We don't really need to see them. It's fine. Like,
I think it's that same, like, throwaway thing where they're just like, oh, here's this.
Yeah, like, that's fine.
It wasn't really, it was kind of glossed over.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we skipped, which I love, was still them hanging out. The kids end up, like, while they're waiting for the party, for the birthday party, they're hanging out with Perfuma and some dude who has a lute, who is, like, the worst bard ever. Because that dude is
Shipwreck from G.I. Joe, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, because he's got, like, this weird, like, Burt Reynolds mustache.
Well, yeah,
and he's, like, wearing a vest and just, like, the tightest... stirrup pants you can find.
Whatever.
Like, oh, God.
Yeah, so they have a really weird non-denominational Christmas song, which is terrible.
Yep.
We've got just the right setting for my new Christmas song. Let's try it.
Love and caring, peaceful bliss.
They gather around the pile of nothing in this weird little field, and she's like, oh, I can make flowers appear.
You realize this?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. She can like change the weather, and she's like, Christmas is about flowers and springtime, right? And they're like, no, it's about winter. She's like, oh, snow it is then. Like a
dead
fucking hailstorm comes in, I guess.
You got it.
It's like, well, time to kill all these animals that won't be able to adjust.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
The fast change in temperature. Sorry.
You could have literally told her anything. Christmas is about lava falling from the sky, she would have done it. Just obliviously killed everybody in Eternia.
Christmas is about a sea of bicycles drowning out all of the rivers in Eternia.
Right.
Yeah, why not? Because they can.
Yeah, sounds...
Like, she's very suggestible, and her with that much power with such a stupid person. Oh, the fan fictions that could come from that.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway,
Wait a minute.
Do we miss something else?
I'm just thinking about this. So she's there when the kids are kidnapped by Hordak. The bard gets frozen, but nobody deals with Perfuma, the weather god.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, right. Anybody?
Like, Perfuma, you gotta do anything? What? Busy, sorry!
Basically what happens after the Mancheens show up, I think, Skeletor and Hordak, essentially, who is like his nemesis... And they have, like, a Grand Emperor Snoke or whoever it is that's, like, telling them what to do. And he's like, whichever one of you brings me these kids or destroys Christmas, I think he wants them to destroy Christmas to be his right-hand man.
Yeah, he wants them to destroy the Christmas spirit on Eternia because it's another spirit of goodness and therefore a threat to him.
Right.
Even though they only found out about it, like, 20 minutes ago. It's like,
yes, but now it's spreading like a plague.
But they're so threatened because it's just coming from these two kids, and apparently He-Man is just like, well, if they believe it, it must exist, so we have to kill it.
Santa Claus must exist, and I will kill him.
So basically, Skeletor does manage to kidnap the kids.
Yeah.
And somebody in Team He-Man, I don't remember who it was, says basically, we know the children are in the Fright Zone, but we don't know where. So, the Fright Zone is the name of an area in this show, I guess.
Which is apparently Death Valley, I suppose. Like, it kind of looks like it. Or, like, somewhere on the outskirts of Burning Man, I don't know. They just take them to this, like, completely decrepit wasteland desert thing.
The Mancheen... So, Hordak kidnaps them, and then they get kidnapped.
The Mancheens. It's just, it's absurd.
Like,
it
sounds, again, I don't want to... beat this dead horse, but it kind of sounds like a gay transformer. I'm really sorry, that was low hanging fruit. I'm so sorry, but it's all I can think of right now, and I really don't want to think about it anymore.
Hordak kidnaps them, and then Hordak's going back to Horde Prime, who's like the evil overlord.
Yeah.
And then the monstroids.
It doesn't matter.
The giant awful transformers.
Yeah, the not transformers.
The awful not transformers overtake the ship and are like, "You're giving them to us for."
Some
inexplicable
reason.
reasons.
We need these children to harvest. I don't know.
I need these kids. things.
Is this before or after Skeletor takes the kids?
This is before. This is before, then, right? So, like, they fight, okay. They fight the Monstroids with the Mancheens, and then Skeletor
right.
kidnaps the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up, like, they're flying, and then Hordak shoots down Skeletor's little gay bike thing.
Yes. And then he goes home.
Yeah.
Basically, Hordak, he shoots down the bike thing, and instead of going to get the kids, which he's supposed to be capturing or killing them or getting Skeletor or whatever, he's like, oh, I'm kind of out of gas. I'm going to head back to base and then come back for them later.
I'm sure they'll die. It's fine.
It's cool.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, what are they going to do? Eat the weird flying jet ski? No, of course not.
That's silly. They're not robots. No. Wait, are they robots?
Right.
Wait, the dog is. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And then...
So Skeletor and the two kids are hanging out in the snow with this little robot dog. And one of the kids just falls over almost dead, like literally out of nowhere. She freezes to death instantly.
About to succumb to hypothermia.
Yeah.
Skeletor just summons... nice big puffy coats
like
for him, and they're
weird
cool.
Pimp jackets out of nowhere, like they're like North Face jackets. He's just like, I got them on sale.
And it's funny because he's supposed to be destroying the spirit of Christmas. Essentially, the weather is going to do your job for you, and instead he saves them. And when he saves them, one of them says to him, like, "Thank you, Mr. Skeletor. You're so kind." And he's offended by that.
So
it's great.
And he unknowingly gives them their first Christmas present from him.
Yes.
Granted, it's so they don't die.
And
it's the thought that counts, I guess.
Yeah, well, and then I've seen this screenshot so many times. The picture of him holding the little robot dog. He's like, I'm not nice!
And smiling.
It's so good.
Oh my god. They eventually just descend down the mountain or something, or like, so the mountain just stops snowing, or they find a way down, and it's like, it's just directly adjacent to a desert.
Suddenly, not mountain.
Yep.
And the entire way down, they're like explaining to him what Christmas is, and he's like not getting it in a very like Nightmare Before Christmas kind of way, where he's like, oh, I know what Christmas is. It's spooky skeletons. And they're like, no, Mr. Skeletor, it's family time and togetherness. And he's like, fights are fun. I like fights.
I like fighting.
And he like doesn't get it.
Yeah, like family, but I don't have one. Honestly, just like a singular tear come out of nowhere. It's like, how could he have that?
You don't have tear ducts. How did you do this?
I don't know.
Well, he's got minions, though. His minions seem to like him well enough.
They could cry for him.
Right.
Well, there's
Punchy,
evil,
get over here.
There's evil Lynn, and yes, that's her name. Evil Dash Lynn, who is supposed to be like his right-hand woman, his girlfriend. Which, that was a thing I noticed when I was watching it again. So Hordak has his counterpart to Evil Lynn, who is something cat, which leads us to believe that Hordak is a furry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, is Hordak human, though? Isn't he like some sort of like mythical demon or something like that? I wasn't paying very much attention.
He's like a sorcerer who got really into technology, and I think he tried to turn himself into a robot.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, so, like, maybe so that he could, like, live forever, like, if he had, like, half robot parts or something.
Yeah, that sounds
like,
about right.
Like, if he wanted to be, like, a cyborg or whatever.
Yeah, he's going
like...
for the top half.
Yeah, okay. Oh, so he, like, Mr. Freezed himself, basically.
Sure.
Basically.
I was making it.
Essentially, it all boils down to a big fight, right?
Yeah.
Is that where we're at now?
That's essentially... Oh, yeah, and He-Man and She-Ra show up again, like, 45 minutes later.
Right.
Sorry, we
were
getting...
with the Man-Jeans
it's like,
with
hey,
them.
We're still here.
Sorry, we were getting Starbucks.
Skeletor... Right. Skeletor dies, and I don't remember if he sacrifices himself for the kids.
He's like,
but that happens, and
I feel responsible for their welfare.
Right, and he's brought back to life by the power of Christmas and puppies.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, in general.
Yeah, and then he's zapped, like, Horde Prime shows up with a giant crane claw toy to pick up the kids.
And he's apparently really mad at it.
Well, I mean, Skeletor zaps his with the most amazing pose ever.
Position of a cane I've ever seen.
Like
he bends down,
holds it with both hands at crotch level, and fires a beam from his staff. Like it is so painful.
Oh, no, do we forget about the ship earlier? Like with
we
the destructoid things. Oh my god! Like where they're like so. He-Man and She-Ra were like this is backtracking, but He-Man and She-Ra are like fighting against like the not Transformers or something. And one of them has like this weird claw thing that goes around this very disturbing Hordak like his helicopter that's it's like shaped like a dick. Oh, like, yeah. There's no getting around it. And the claw grips it immediately in the middle. And I'm like, I hate myself so much right now because they're making it so easy. Do you remember that?
I'm sort of ashamed to admit that I didn't notice the phallic imagery in this at all.
Oh my god!
Aside from
so
like
looks...
the blatantly gay main characters, I really didn't pick up on any.
I'm sorry. Maybe we're far too imaginative or dirty minded, but it's like it's right. all I could see, and I'm like, I need to not think about this stuff. For
yeah,
a
no,
while.
Hordak's ship right. to me looks like some kind of like sex toy.
Yeah,
and almost like a dick, except it's like a really weird like. I don't know. It has a weird.
Like Hordak's dick. Yeah.
Something weird's going on with that dick. But then.
Right.
One of the monstroids grabs it in the middle. It's like, oh my god.
It's
put
like,
that down, young man.
I feel like there were a lot of unaddressed issues that they were trying to get through the animation. It's like, all right, we've got a limited budget. Let's try to have the strongest message possible.
And that message is dicks.
Yep. I don't know. But yeah, anyway, so there was like this big showdown thingy or whatever. Hordak and his brood eventually end up getting defeated by the power of love or something.
I found it kind of interesting that, like, I was wondering, I knew that Skeletor was going to succumb to the power of Christmas the entire time. I knew that coming into this. But I found myself wondering, like, is this the end of Skeletor's villain? Is he going to be, like, a good guy in the next season, sort of? And he's, like, hanging out at He-Man Christmas, like, the party with everybody there. He's, like, hanging out. Yeah, he was, like, there with them. I seem to remember that because he asked them, like, wait, what's happening to me? I don't understand what's happening. Uh-huh. And they're, like, you're turning good. And he's like, I don't like being good. I want to feel evil.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, well, you'll probably feel evil again tomorrow. So they just sort of like throw it out the window. Like he's going to be a bad guy still, but he did sacrifice his life to save these two kids and a puppy
yeah.
for Christmas.
Yeah. I think it, I mean, my guess is that it was non-canon.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like most holiday specials, especially for something like Adventures in Space.
Yeah.
Tend to like, when you have a holiday special, it's kind of assumed to be non-canon. Like all the movies in DBZ are non-canon
mm-hmm.
so kind of like that I guess that's my assumption
yeah.
right
I would assume as much and then like eventually the kids just get transported back and it's like well,
with
you...
hover belts
yeah yeah with hover belts for some reason I don't know why but like in order for them to become lazier I guess I don't know no like it's
yeah
know, like it just, I think the ending was like it wasn't like the weirdest part but like just seeing He-Man dressed up like Santa and then just be like you knew it was
right.
me the whole time it's like Adam we've known each other for 20 some odd years. I would probably recognize my brother.
What
yeah,
I like is that
I was getting some real weird like sexual vibes from him and his sister.
Yeah,
they seem to be giving off that sort of like Lannister essence.
Yeah, I generally don't feel like they're supposed to be brother and sister. Like they don't really act like brother and sister. They just act like okay,
right.
they're just
here.
Constantly yelling at each other.
Yeah, they like to keep saying each other's name almost as though they have to keep convincing it's like it's your sister. Like don't do
right.
anything bad.
This is programming. Sister,
yeah.
I need your help. Like, not like that.
Yep. And then they've got this weird moral at the very end of it where it's like, no, not everybody celebrates Christmas, but for those of you who do, remember it's about family and togetherness, not about gifts.
Oh, yeah.
And it's immediately sandwiched by all these ads and stuff, like,
yep.
presumably, like, at the end and like, the middle
right.
or whatever, it's like, remember, Christmas isn't about toys. It's like, no, it's absolutely about toys. So says the toy commercial.
Says the walking toy commercial.
We sort of skipped over the part where they bring the kids back to their house and they go back to Mario and Mario's wife.
Well, yeah.
And it's essentially the parents are like, where have you been? You just disappeared for 2 days. And they're like, we went to a magical land called Eternia and we hung out with a tiger and a guy that's like wearing a like a whatever like a fucking Mad Max costume. He's got like a big sword and we met a skeleton man and had a robot puppy and they're like, but where were you really? And they're like, we just told you. And they're like, I guess we'll talk about this tomorrow. It's like figure out where they were.
Yeah.
You don't just go to bed after that. They were missing for like 12
yeah,
hours
like,
at least.
Like we need to call Dr. Brewster. Something happened.
Hey, that's not long enough for a
page right.
search.
Yeah. All right. So now, can you
right.
describe this He-Man to me, sir?
Well, he was really
yeah.
big and he was really buff. He looked really oily
yeah.
and he was mostly naked.
Yeah.
Can you describe?
And all of his friends too. All of his friends looked similar in physique and in dress.
So, can you describe the man that took you away? Like, yeah, so his skin was missing off of his face.
But
he
was also really
good shape.
Buff
right.
and really naked.
And he had a really good sense of color theory because he wore a lot of...
For some reason, he walked around with a staff as though he needed to help him walk.
Yeah, but he seemed like he was in pretty... You know,
again,
okay, he's looking cut. Like, I'm just saying, whatever, he had not had any kind of sweets that year. So, like, I'm sure that he's been doing CrossFit and it shows.
Zero fat diet.
Yeah, exactly. But
Right, and also the wizard that's in like entirely covered in shadows. Like, you don't see anything of this thing other than its clothing.
Yeah, well, his...
it's like coated in shadow underneath that.
Yeah, for Orko.
Oh, yeah.
Orko,
that's right.
Like, yeah, it's...
Orko, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Orko looks like a villain to me. He looks like a minion.
Yeah,
he
like,
does
it,
a little bit.
Yeah, if he had less like bright and cheerful coloring, I would assume that he was a villain.
Right.
When I was a kid, I thought he was a villain for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it coming into this because he literally does, I mean, kidnap these kids. And I actually thought that he was supposed to be a bad guy for like 15 minutes until he went to hang out with He-Man again.
Yeah. Did Orko have like, do you think he had some kind of greater motivation aside from learning about the spirit of Christmas, even though it didn't really have much of anything to do with Christmas?
No, Orko, like...
Well, yeah, because he like steals shit too. Like, he takes this rocket like supposedly by accident,
yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that if you look at the entire... like series of events, really.
Yeah, like if nothing else, Orko doesn't learn a damn thing. He just learns that stealing
accomplishes
everything you've ever wanted, including getting friends.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, you made the joke earlier. Like, you made a joke that Jar Jar Binks is his way into the whole thing.
He does,
and that's
right.
No, that's, he totally does. I think that's just a good way to describe Orko. He's kind of like a proto Jar Jar Binks,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a little more likable.
Not nearly as annoying, for sure.
Certainly not quite the racial stereotype.
Yeah, but to see him become a villain would be amazing.
Be good. What I like about Orko, my favorite thing about Orko is he, for some reason, has an O on his thing, which is great in its own right because he clearly forgets how to spell.
Yeah.
But also, it serves as a perfect target if you ever need to shoot him.
Oh my god!
I think Orko's life must be really interesting because he talks about like when he's in the rocket, he's like, "Oh man, I forgot my spell book at home. I'll just make up a spell. Glibbity 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 glop. Take me back home." In the to my pawn shop or whatever he says, and he just like makes up shit and it sort of works, and it's like, if I could do that in life and just like think of a word that rhymes with hamburger and just get infinite hamburgers, that'd be great.
That'd be good.
That'd be terrific.
One infinite hamburgers.
Yeah, but like it leads me to believe that it's a lot easier to be a sorcerer than it probably is. Like, I feel like there are a lot of like dejected kids coming back from magic school just be like, well, I guess I'm just not cut out for it, Mom. I'm sorry.
Turns out my rhyming dictionary ain't gonna cut.
This is not like in Harry Potter where you actually have to like understand the Latin roots of all the spells that you're saying to like make up a spell. In this, you can just like say shit, and as long as it rhymes,
it
probably
will work.
Dictionary,
you're good.
Yeah, I think he has the same like the spells appear to have the same principles as like Merlin's does in the Disney animated Sword in the Stone movie, where it's just like Higgledus, Figgledus, mm-hmm. like whatever. It's like they're all clearly nonsensical words, but apparently it's enough. Like, as long as the spirits are feeling like, okay, this is cool and the beat's decent, then we'll give it a shot and then we'll make it work. So
the beat is hot. Let's do it.
Also, this is tangential, but in the very beginning of the movie, when they're going through all these new characters, they all look exactly like women that would have been put on pinball machines in the mid-80s.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like their coloring and the way they're just like, does this look better? Like all their costuming.
A little higher. Here?
Right.
You want me to flip my hair again?
Well, I loved Peekaboo, who apparently has peacock colored wings.
Yeah, like she's...
color and shape, like it's the peacock tail, but
she's got like an all-seeing eye on there or something. Like, I could have sworn that was Bill Cipher's eye from Gravity Falls. I was just like, oh, okay. He really has never stopped watching. Oh, God. But, yeah, this was such a breath of fresh air compared to the Elf special. Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, it was,
it was so much
a delightful campy romp.
Yep. And it went by, like, there's definitely a lot of pacing issues, but at the very least, it's like, some of the action sequences are just really poorly staged, and it makes them a blast to watch.
Just so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a nice, like... It sort of rushes by and it doesn't feel like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that I'm going to go out and like check out He-Man after this and watch everything, every episode of He-Man. It's not going to happen, but it was fun enough.
I feel like this generally gave us pretty much the exact amount of He-Man that we needed, which is about a solid 45 minutes. Yeah. That's about it.
Right.
I feel like standards for kids entertainment have changed a lot. Wherein like I get like that's the thing because like I think with every generation has their certain sense of like reverence for the shows that they grew up with because it was like a formative year sort of thing. It's like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. this show is awesome. It's like I know that I watched a lot of crap when I was a kid, but a lot of the other stuff that like I watch now is like, okay, yeah, these kids are getting a lot better stuff than we did.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
have you seen like that CGI, like Mickey Mouse Playhouse or whatever that show is? Like there's a lot of shit out there still.
That's true. No, that is for sure.
Well, annoying,
I mean, like
Annoying Orange was a show for a while.
Oh
that,
yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. That had like what, like 3 seasons. Fred had 3 movies. Like, But I don't know. I guess sometimes the term entertainment is relative depending on who you ask or how old they are.
Right.
Yeah, it's a distraction sometimes, but yeah. I don't know. So yeah, who would we recommend this for? I would say people who like the Venture Brothers, people that are okay with just campiness for the sake of campiness.
Yeah, if you enjoy like really just goofy, campy things, I think you'd probably dig this.
Yeah.
I would say anybody that really likes He-Man or has to watch it to talk about it on a podcast would really enjoy this. Yeah. Maybe aside from that, not as much.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Reasonable.
Okay, I guess that kind of wraps it up.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, let's just do our outro then. Let's see, Tyler, sure. Where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me at Future Horse Pod, and my shows that I host for the Cynical Cartoons Podcast, which is going strong, the Adam Sandcast, where I've watched every single Adam Sandler movie and talked about them, except for the last two that I have left to go.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah. I have to talk about Blended and Ridiculous 6, and I think that I'm going to get like totally wasted and do a commentary track on Ridiculous 6. Sounds like a good time.
I feel like that's going to be the easiest way to do it, and I salute you. You're a braver soul than I.
And then my third show is the Super Fast Flashcast, where we talk about CW's The Flash every week. Kind of every week. We're trying to catch up. So.
Okay, cool. And do you have, I find you on Twitter or anything? Or?
Yes, at Future Pod. At Future Horse Pod. I already said that, though, at the beginning.
That's fine. We like to do a recap just in case. Yep. All right, yeah.
Like a minute and a half ago, I mean, at the beginning of my plugs.
Oh,
but it's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But yeah, so, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TC Troush. What about you, Robbie?
Oh, I'm on Twitter at @lobster_writer and Instagram if you're exceptionally bored is lobster99.
Yeah, you haven't been on there in a while.
I lurk occasionally, but I have nothing to post.
It's okay.
I don't do things that are interesting enough to post.
It's okay. We'll go do something fun soon.
Very well.
Eventually. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. As always, if you have any requests, any questions, any concerns, just want to talk. Just feel free to contact us, and thank you very much for listening.
Yeah,
this has been Animation Station. We will talk to you in the future. Goodbye.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
I am Adora. Fabulous secrets were revealed to me. She-Ra!